This is the Roller Coaster Podcast, and I'm your host, Lucy Q. Life is a wild ride. It has twists and turns. It's scary, exciting, and downright fun. So throw your head back, arms in the air, and come along with me for the ride. Before we get started, check out nectargrowth.com, NECTUREGROWTH.com. It's free to join, but not for long. Nectar is an extension of the roller coaster. It's where you can start your own journey of self-exploration and growth. In Nectar, you'll find different topics of interest, daily blogs, affirmations, journal prompts, and you can connect with some of the fantastic coaches that have been on the roller coaster. Soon, we'll be adding videos, meditations, live discussions, and events. Our signature course is a journey of self-improvement, and it's valued at $397. But once you join, it's available to you at no cost. So if you're feeling stuck, if you feel like you need to change and not sure where to start, start with Nectar Growth Network. Come join us. You know you're worth it. Now, let's get on with today's show. What if you could reprogram your limiting beliefs and transform them into a more life-giving, abundant vision of yourself? What if you could connect with your own pathways of growth? Joining me today is Dr. Margaret Evanow, who has over 30 years experience in mental health and personal development. And we're going to chat about quantum psychology and how you can reprogram your mind. Hi, Dr. Margaret.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Now, whenever I hear the word quantum, my mind always leaps to the show with Scott Bakula, Quantum Leap. when I think of quantum, it was always that sort of fictional show. I think it was in the 80s.
Yes.
And it wasn't until we connected that I had heard of the term quantum psychology. So can you maybe explain what that is?
Absolutely. And I'm not surprised that you haven't heard that terminology. The few people that talk about quantum psychologists or quantum psychology are not psychologists.
Oh, okay.
They're physicists, they're medical doctors, they're, an alternative, like a Chinese medicine doctor, but not one of them was a psychologist. Wow. I think the field of psychology is a little bit uptight about staying in the bounds. And quantum psychology is really a hybrid where you take all of the information that we have scientifically from psychology, but how our brain works, how our nervous system works, when something is not working right, what do you do to help? What works best? And adds the cutting edge information that we're learning from quantum physics about really what is happening here. What is this that we're living in? And really, what are we? And I don't know that psychology does a really succinct job of including those kinds of new information. We've had this information probably since the 90s in much more detail about the fact that everything is energy. There really isn't anything here. I know, yes, I'm sitting here and you're sitting over there, but at the very tiniest pieces of us, if you look into the atom, there's absolutely nothing there but space and energy impulses. That's it.
And I think that's been one of the most interesting things to learn most recently, because, you know, I'm struggling to remember science classes in school, but we were always sort of taught that, you know, you have solids, you have liquids, you have gases, and we sort of assumed this table is solid, but right. It's not. And I cannot remember the exacts, but it's something about if you go into, is it an atom? Mm-hmm. And if you sort of actually look at it, it's mainly nothing. There's mainly space,
right,
in it all.
And there's no boundary.
Yeah.
There's actually no boundary. The electrons have little pathways that they follow and orbits, so to speak, but there's not really orbits. They're moving all over the place. And there's a nucleus that has positively charged protons, neutrons, sorry. And that in the middle is tightly bound together, but the rest of it is kind of loose and hanging free and just kind of making it sure it's in the vicinity of. So there's no, like, you remember how we used to draw the circle and then in there is the nucleus and there's little electrons that are going, but there is no real boundary. They're just hanging out somehow in that space together.
And we don't know how they're hanging out yet part, do we?
They have, for the nucleus, they call it the strong force, but they don't know what that means or what it consists of. It's strong because really those protons shouldn't be together, right? They shouldn't be hanging together like that, but they do. And when you split the atom, really it's the nucleus that you split. There's a big strong force that gets let go, right? The atomic bomb is really based off of that. It is still, we're still learning so much. But in quantum psychology, the focus is helping people understand that if our thoughts, which are electrical chemical impulses, you think about it, between the neurons, there's a gap, and in the tissue, it's actually an electrical impulse. And then it jumps the gap through chemicals. It kind of transitions the information to chemical, and then off through the next cell it goes as an electrical impulse. And we've measured it, probably about a foot on each side, an electromagnetic force, like a field around our brain, right, around our head. It creates that much energy from our thought patterns. But something we don't really know a lot about is most people are not aware that there are neuron cells in our heart.
Yes, yes. And that's where you talk about, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about the brain-heart connection.
Yes.
But there's also similar cells in your gut.
Our gut, yes.
And that's where, you know, when you're talking about intuition, and for me, I have a very strong intuition that when an idea or a thought comes up, if it's something I'm supposed to act on, I feel it in my gut.
Yes, you do.
And that gut instinct.
For real.
Yeah.
For real.
Literally, I feel it. Yeah.
The other thing that we are recently, maybe in the last 5 years, learning is that the neurotransmitters, dopamine and serotonin, two very, very important neurotransmitters, are actually made by our microbiome in our gut. And they are carried to the brain. It's fascinating. This is one great big brain system. We're one system, right? I know we've always talked about mind-body connection, but the brain is in the body, literally the entire body. It's the entire body. And mind is just this activated and working. So our heart actually has, I believe it's five times as large of an electromagnetic field around it. We're really energetic beings.
We are. And it's funny because I remember having a conversation with my dad. My dad's, you know, a British man in his 70s. He's old school. He's very sort of, this is the way it is. And I've always been a bit of an outlier in the family. I was always that different child. And I remember having a conversation and somehow quantum sciences came up and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a subject I'm really interested in. You know, these are some of the people I listen to and this is some, and he was really sort of taken aback because it's not something that, you know, I'm sort of more sort of creative woohoo type of person. And he kind of looked at me and I said, well, yeah, because it can do, you know, this is, you know, your thoughts become things and da 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 da. And I start talking about it. And he looks at me.
Uh-oh.
And he got that look on his face and he kind of just gently shook his head. And he's like, no, that's not what it is. And I'm like, all righty. I just changed the subject now. Because he was still very fixated on what science was.
Yes. And actually, many of the leaders in quantum physics are talking about quantum physics actually being the science. It really is the basis of what is happening here. And we have larger bodies that maybe seem to act on different premises or law, but they're still made out of the same electrical kind of energy field that everything is in. And so the Earth has its own electrical field and it has its own vibration and there's a sound to it. It's called the Schumann resonance. And you can actually Google it and listen to it on YouTube. And it's, when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, that's quite beautiful. That bio life, right? The bioenergetic life that's here on the earth has a song. We have a vibration that we make together.
Well, it only makes sense because, you know, we're all sort of that vibrational being.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the things that I know you mentioned program, right? So when we come into this earth as an infant, our brain waves are in theta and delta, just enough alpha to keep us tracking things, right? But we're in this hypnotic kind of state where we are just sponging everything in. And that is the basis, the foundation of what we end up as our template of what it means to be a human being. So if we are in a family where there's lots of stress, then that's our template. That's our program. We live what we learn. And I like to add to that until we learn something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be changed. It's not like, I mean, if you've had a rough childhood, that you'll never have another chance. We can rewire our brain. And even though we call it rewiring, it's really just about helping ourselves have a higher level frequency of thought. It's an electrical charge. Whatever charge it is, whether it's survival based, right? So fear, where we constrict and we're ready for the danger. Most of us live there.
I was going to say, right now, I'm going to say 90% of the population is living in a constant state
Absolutely.
Of fear. And I can't help but question how that's vibrating through the universe, if that makes sense in any way. Because collectively, in the same way that people gather in prayer and miracles happen.
Yes.
In some capacity, gathering in fear has got to have an equal vibrational output that is harming the universe in some capacity.
So it may. I'm not going to be able to answer that one. That one's
I don't think we're going to know for a while on that
one.
No.
I do know, though, that it does have an incredible impact on what those people experience. So part of the law of resonance it's just an energy kind of a field that we live in. We actually are part of it. It's not that we're on the earth and the earth is in this field. We are part of that field. We're actually connected. Our brain and our heart and our system is designed to be able to at certain brain wave frequencies, theta and delta, we can open ourselves to information from the field. But what we put out, what we broadcast, actually changes what we see, what we create in our own life, what we're willing to move towards or not willing to move towards. And I talk to people about the law of resonance. The law of resonance is whatever I spend most of my time thinking about, creating in my mind, right? Psychology would call that catastrophizing if it's fear-based. Oh, here we go again. This is going to be the worst problem ever. Everything's going to fall apart. And we live right now as if whatever we're imagining is true. And I tell people, so you're going to suffer from here to the time where you actually figure out whether it's going to happen or not. Does that make sense? Would you ever tell anybody, you know, it's unlikely to happen, but why don't you suffer for about 3 months until you find out?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But we have such a tendency, a bias, because of our survival mechanisms, to really swing towards the negative. We're watching out for it. We're looking for it. There's got to be a problem coming somewhere. I need to be ready for it. But then we keep ourselves in this heightened state where our nervous system is always on in fight, flight, or freeze to some level, And so it changes what we see, what we look for, how we interpret things. But conversely, I mean, like you said, so if a person is visioning a beautiful outcome or something that they'd like to have in their life, and they've imagined it in the world of imagination, which is a real place. It's in an energetic space. And what quantum physics says is that there's potentiality for anything to happen. Anything and everything is available. And by what we focus on, we snatch a potentiality. And if we focus on it long enough, if we take the feeling, the emotional state that that gives us, and act as if, catastrophize if it's fear, I like to call best case scenarioizing. That's the best I could come up with, because there's no easy word for the opposite of catastrophizing.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I don't think there is an opposite word for that.
So I call it best case scenarioizing, right? I'm going to imagine the most wonderful thing that could happen out of this. And if I bring that into now, then I live right now as if it's true already, which it is, because I've snatched a potentiality in the land of imagination and I've started to give it focus, energy, my energy. I'm building it.
And, you know, it's exactly the process that I went through. 5 years ago, I went through crisis, whatever you want to call it. I hit rock bottom. And I called out to the universe, just give me one thing to do to pull out of this tailspin. Give it to me, please. And I started to think about, I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what I was doing. Everything was wrong. So I started thinking about the person who I wanted to be. If not this, then what? I started thinking about that. And I then looked at five traits, sort of hitting on, you know, relationships, spirit, financial, all of those things. What are five things that this person, this ideal version of myself, who is that person and what do they do with their time? And I created, call them affirmation, why statements, you know, whatever they are, five things. And I write them out every day. I've been doing this for almost 5 years. Wow. So I did that is I out of the universe plucked, who do I want to be?
Yes.
I solidified it in my writing and I connect with it every day. And it's, you know, it's what would that person do? How would that person act?
Exactly.
So you're I'm becoming that person because I'm embodying it now.
Exactly. And that's really the idea behind how we are co-creators with this energetic field that we not only are in, but we are made of, and we actually are the energetic field as well, right? We're not separated. There's no separation here. Although it looks like I'm over here on this side of the camera and you're over there.
We're all connected. It's some people call it the matrix.
Uh-huh. They do. Yes.
And some people talk about that, you know, plucking it out of the universe and conceptualizing it today. Some people call that the law of attraction.
Yeah. And I think the law of attraction is actually what we usually hear. The sound bites are like attracts alike, right? That's usually what it, you get what you give, those kinds of things. I look at the law of attraction more as the outcome, and the law of resonance as what you just described. I've intentionally created the ideal of what I want to be. But rather than still having it off in the future, I felt what would she feel like? And I pull that down into today and I resonate to it. I reread it. I have a relationship with this idea, this imagined person. And the more I do that, the more I start to see her become.
And I find it so interesting and so, what's the word I'm searching for? Not justifying, word escapes me, but to hear somebody with, you know, that medical side of it, because a lot of the time,
I'm actually a psychologist.
Psychologist, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So a lot of these things are poo-pooed.
Yes.
Because they're seen as it's crazy, it's woohoo, it's magic, it's hocus right. pocus. They put every name on it.
I know.
But to actually hear it from somebody like yourself.
You know, they are doing some amazing research. I watched on Gaia.com.
Oh, love it.
Love Gaia.
Love it.
They had a documentary called Emotion.
Yes.
And one of the studies that they had in that particular, I believe it was in that particular documentary was, so these people, it was a triple blind study, right? Nobody knew what was happening. It was randomized computer program. So even the computer couldn't really tell you what was coming next. The people that were the participants were hooked up to electrodes so that they could get some, you know, reads off of them. And they had a little mouse. And so they were supposed to react if it was a scary photo image that popped up on the screen and, you know, hit that button. And if it wasn't, then they didn't respond. But when they actually looked at the measurements, people responded to the fear-based images before they were even on the screen.
Yeah.
So how did they do that?
Exactly.
We did it because we are in the field.
We know.
We already know. We have extrasensory perception in that we are energy in an energy field. It's all connected. I can already tell. And they weren't able to really tell, you know, that there's no image, but their finger moved before the image actually came up. There's so much evidence that we have that this isn't wishful thinking. This isn't people who are on, you know, some kind of a spiritual kick. There is no woohoo. It's science.
It's fact.
It's fact. And we have studied this now since the 90s and gotten into more and more and more and more detail. It's fascinating.
It is. And there's another good one on, I think it's on Gaia as well, called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes, that one's fun. Actually.
That's another. It, you know, it's really interesting to see how they break it down. And, you know, you see people like Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden,
right?
Joe Dispenza. You hear these doctors talking about this stuff. And I think it's normalizing the conversation a bit more but right. I still think that we're far from it being mainstream.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that. I did a search before I took on the title of quantum psychologist, and I couldn't find one psychologist
that actually did. I've seen the term, like I Googled the term, and it's the term out
is
there.
Written by, it's in quantum psychology, is talked about by a physicist, by a medical doctor, and by some someone who's into, he's a physicist and has background in alternative Eastern medicine.
So how is it that you implement it and help people to improve their lives?
Well, I do it on two different kinds of ways. The first is understanding that we are programmed right from the minute we hit this plane. We sponge in what's happening around us before we have language, before we actually even have clear-cut memory systems built into us. So it gets to a deep level, and the vast majority, I love humanity. I love human beings. I work with them all day long. I want the best for us, but we really don't have this thing called family down. We really don't. There's stress that impacts how we parent. There's outside impact from economics and, you know, wars, pandemics, things that we may never have thought was going to happen. And then there's also people not being able to relate to each other in a kind or a respectful way. And that is what we get as our foundation, the majority of us. That's what we get. And then that's what we live, right? We live what we've learned. But this learning is so deep sometimes that we weren't really aware of it. It almost acts as an automatic pilot system.
Well, we don't know anything different, so we don't know that it exists. It's not until you can take pause, look back and go, hey, wait a second. Yeah. I didn't even know what a limiting belief was until maybe 5 years ago.
Right.
So it's not until something comes within your conscious realm that you can begin to decode it.
Right. So we need that awareness piece. And so often I talk to people about, you know, when we're little, we sponge in things, we learn what it means to be a human being without words attached to it. So I often say, who taught you that? Where'd you learn that? And I know right where they are, where they learned it. If they say, I've always done that, right? I can't think of a time I haven't. I don't know. It's just like, I've always done that. And I'm like, before you had memory of it, this is all you've known. This is all you've known. And we can reprogram that. We can change that. It's sometimes you got to roll your sleeves up and put some elbow grease into it, right? Because it's not as simple as, oh, that's not a good thought for me. Let me just think something different, because this has been programmed over and over and over. It's a neuronal pathway that Bruce Lipton actually calls the neurons that wire and fire together.
Yeah.
As having a relationship.
Yeah.
The dendrites have like gotten so entangled. They're family. And they're not going to give up without a fight. So, I mean, it can take some effort to reprogram our brain, but we can. I am a living example of that. When I was younger, I had severe depression. I was suicidal. I came from a family system that had domestic violence. It took me some elbow grease to change this around. And I laugh when I hear people say, oh my gosh, you're just the most optimistic, positive person I know. Well, if you knew me when, you wouldn't be saying that.
Exactly. Same thing for me.
Yeah.
The person I am today,
you can change it.
Is not the same person that I was in, you know, the beginning of August, 2017.
Yeah. So, and as you're, I mean, obviously it doesn't have to take a lifetime to reprogram. Once we get some traction on it, and there's some things we can do, right? So practicing a new way of thinking about things, catching those, stopping a dream, and then shifting over to a focus that is more life-giving, more energizing, more positively charged, right? That can help us to reprogram, but we have to do that over and over and over and over again, because we've done this old one over and over and over again, sometimes for 30, 40 years. So it takes a little bit, but we can do that. And then the second thing that I actually am launching a new signature program on is to help people with chronic or acute illnesses really find their way back to visioning a health that is optimal for them, and really restructuring things. So radical remission is a study that's out of Harvard right now. It was based on this book that this doctor who worked with cancer patients looked at the, I believe it's 7 or 9 different ways that people that had a radical remission found a way to just, the cancer was gone and nobody could tell you exactly why. They had these traits or characteristics or things that they did. And those are really powerful places to be. They're the expert. They took on, I'm the expert, not the doctor. Nobody tells me how this is going to turn out. I'm the expert. And they changed their diet, and they found how to really embrace their life purpose, right? To have something that's so energizing and life-giving that it pulls them. So working to help people do that, right? Where they are able to harness this fact that we are energy beings. And this body is made of energy. And negative, heavy, fear-based frequencies of emotion actually impact our physicality, what we call our physical body.
Those traumas, those physical traumas are stored in our bodies in yes, some way.
Absolutely.
It's like, I laugh, I keep having lower back problems, and it's, mm-hmm. I keep trying to dig away at, okay, what is the root cause of this? Sure. There was, you know, an injury, there was a fall, there was a whatever, but my body should have healed.
Yeah.
By now. So why does it keep reoccurring? And it's going back to, what are some of that, the negative baggage that I'm carrying around that I need to purge?
Right. Right. Often I ask people to sit with their body and ask it, what are you trying to tell me? Can you give me the information? Because what our body shares with us, pain, twinges, an area that maybe has inflammation, that's communication.
It's your body talking to you.
Yeah, it's your body talking to you. And we can't heal if we hate our body.
Yeah.
We cannot heal. We are our body, right? This is a manifested physicality, an experience of physicality. We impact that if we hate ourselves. We cannot afford to do that.
The vibrational energy of hate is a lower level vibration.
Yeah.
So it's going to bring down your energetic vibration.
Exactly. So I really enjoy that work because, number one, it's so challenging because there are some deep-seated beliefs that people have about themselves. And when they've had a chronic kind of health issue, often they are angry with their body. You let me down is the feeling state. And I know that because I've had that, and I've gone through my own healing journey. And I told myself stories about my body letting me down, and I was mad at it. And then I was push energy. I'm going to make this change. And even that is still aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it finally. I was like, oh, I'm trying to make this happen. I'm pushing. And that's really aggression. And that's not healing.
You're beating. Well, and that's it. Is it, you know, when I see some people and they embark on, you know, very strict diet and exercise routines to try and get themselves in optimal shape. To me, it seems very punishing. And, you know, I've done it. And it works temporarily, doesn't work forever. But the important, you know, until you realize that you have to love your whole self,
right,
exactly as you are, right now,
yeah,
you can't even begin to successfully begin that journey.
Right, right. So I also love that kind of work, because if a person actually does find a way to love themselves as they are right now, they've cleaned out some of the old baggage, they've let go of things, forgiven, they've shifted stuff around, they have a reason to live, I get to see miracles.
Wow. That must be just
miracles. And it's pretty powerful.
I bet. I bet.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Margaret, I know there are people listening that are going to want to join your movement and connect with you. Where's the best place for them to do that?
So probably Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and it's Dr. Me to Be Well.
Perfect. If you're listening and you're looking at connecting with Dr. Margaret, make sure you check out the show notes. I'm going to have all the links in there. And Dr. Margaret, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you for the privilege of this. This is fun. This is what I love talking about. It's been fun. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roller Coaster Podcast. Want to chat or share your ideas about today's show? Pop me an email at hello@therollercoasterpodcast.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at The Roller Coaster Podcast. Our theme song, Roller Coaster, was performed by The Lucky Setback. Audio editing by the one and only Jeff Quigley of Quigley Creative.